You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Luke 2 as you are able? I was in Dallas this week for a couple days doing our Streams Ministries board meeting. If you don't know what Streams Ministries is, if you've ever been a part of the Art of Hearing God course or Understanding Dreams and Visions, or that's all Streams. And John Paul Jackson, who passed away 10 years ago, planted this church back in 2004, and he was Streams Ministries, and the material is still being stewarded, and the mission is being advanced. The vision is being expanded even now, and there's actually a church on that location as well, and we were out even looking at new spaces and land and building areas. And honestly, real estate in Dallas is pretty expensive. I was not aware of that. It depends on where you are, I suppose, but yeah, it's not super cheap, but we did an open meeting on Wednesday night, and so it was myself and Justin Allen, who worked very closely with Randy Clark for years, and now he's down in Nashville, and he's doing all kinds of things, and maybe someday I'll bring him up here. He's a great guy. I've known him since about 2020. We did a meeting with Bishop Mark Sharona on talking about prophetic reformation. Back then. As a matter of fact, people were freaking out that I was wearing a t-shirt today. I was like, it's snowing. It's a t-shirt day. But this is the new t-shirt from Streams. I don't know if they're actually selling it yet. John said this is his last attempt because he likes t-shirts, but people don't buy them so much. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get some and sell them here. But it's kind of a nice design, though. I like it. So we are starting a new series today called Cradle to Crown. We're leading up into Christmas. We'll be here today, next week, and then Christmas Eve as well, with a big Christmas Eve celebration. And so we're beginning this Christmas journey today. And we start with a picture that's so familiar. I should have put a picture up there, but it's easy to overlook. What do I mean by that? It's sort of what I was talking about with communion, that we can allow things of the kingdom to become wallpaper to our soul. You know, everything that we see, like even in this room, you know, there are things like, for example, the ranked values on the wall. Like, it's the first thing, in a sense, that you see when you walk in, or maybe the second or third thing, but we see it so often that it doesn't really trigger a response in us because it becomes normal. It's easy for the cross to become normal to us. It's easy for the miracle of the birth of Jesus on the earth to become wallpaper to our soul, because if we allow things just to become normal, we lose the awe and wonder and mystery that's contained in the Bible and in this walk with Jesus that we get to engage in. And so we're celebrating in this season the King of all creation who entered our world. But he didn't enter it with a lot of fanfare. I mean, yes, there were some angels and the shepherds, they had an encounter and all that. But the reality is that Jesus was born and he was placed in a feeding trough. You know, we'll call it a cradle because it was a makeshift cradle. You know, it wasn't like one of those pop-up things. I forget what they call it. Is that what they call it, a pop-up? Pack and play thing? I don't know. We used to have one. I mean, we never stopped coming to church. We didn't slow down. We were never really worried about rallies, nap schedule, all that much. You know, we did conferences all the time from 2007 to 2011. And we put up the little pack and play and we put it in that room over there. We just locked the door and leave him in there. Until he was about two and he figured out how to lock the door, and Cheryl Griffin found him in the kitchen eating. So he figured all that. So we had to expand our security. I don't even know why. There was a reason why I was bringing that out, but I forgot. Oh, well, because he was crawling. Well, Jesus came crawling into your story. He didn't come. You know, sometimes we're looking for breakthrough to be this massive, huge thing, but breakthrough 2,000 years ago initially looked like a baby in a manger, in a feeding trough. And I always connect that. Like, the very first place that Jesus found rest is in this feeding trough, so that 33 years in the future, he can stand on the side of the mountain and say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. He was not promoting cannibalism, but he was talking about even this act of communion. He was talking about how do we participate with him in his suffering and in all the things that he endured. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. And so this King of glory steps out of glory, allows himself to be born in human form, and he comes crawling into our story. No one even really knew who he was. I mean, most people didn't know who he was until after he ascended. But people, you know, when he was growing up, his mom knew that he was special. He knew that it was something. But I'm sure along the way, even Jesus himself sort of became wallpaper to her soul because, you know, she still had to change his diapers or whatever they did back then. You know, I'm sure he still spit up milk and threw up food and endured some of the things that he endured as human, the temptations he endured as human. He seemed pretty normal until he wasn't. We don't ever want to allow Jesus to become normal in our hearts. So if you've ever prayed for breakthrough and felt like what God gave you looked small or unimpressive or nothing like what you expected, now this message might be for you. We just got to go back to Luke 2. Sometimes breakthrough doesn't look like an explosive shift in your season. Sometimes breakthrough looks like a baby in a manger. But it's a seed that bears fruit in a future season, and that is the goodness of God. Sometimes the king shows up crawling into your story long before he stands up to fight in it. So what does the cradle reveal to us today? Well, number one, the cradle reveals a king who comes close. He came to us. We didn't go to him. He came here. So Luke 2:1-7. And we're probably going to read this a few times over the next 3 weeks. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went down to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. By the way, that's a prophecy fulfilled. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This moment was the collision of heavenly destiny with earthly difficulty. I sometimes get concerned. And I don't think that it's a stretch, but I even checked myself in this area that the way that we present the gospel, it becomes a bless me club. And I'm all in on blessing, by the way. God wants to bless you, but God also says you will have trouble. Jesus also said, pick up your cross and follow me. There's numerous references about participating in the sufferings of Jesus. If you follow him, it's not likely these days that you'll end up on a cross, but in those days, it was entirely possible because that was the method of persecution. Do not expect the world to love you because you love Jesus. Our job is not to get the world to love us. Our job is to expose the world to a loving God and then let him do the finished work of the cross. And so in this moment of collision of heavenly destiny and earthly difficulty, we see prophecy is being fulfilled, but it doesn't look like victory. It doesn't look like what we expected it to look like. And I'm talking about humanity in that day. It doesn't look convenient. It looks like inconvenience. It looks like rejection. It looks like no room at the inn. If you've ever felt like your entire life is saturated in inconvenience and rejection and there's no room, there's no place for you, you might just be in the right place at the right time because God is about to do something great. We see this all throughout Scripture. For some of us, the place where it feels like there is no room is actually where God plans to birth something holy. And Jesus' birth shows us that God is not afraid of our mess. Like he started in a barn, guys. Look, I don't know. I don't think they had housekeeping to go out and like sweep up the barn stuff. I was just out in, I'd never been there. But we went out to the stockyards, which I think is part of Fort Worth. I mean, I don't know much about it, but it's like this old west kind of area-ish. And they have like every day at 11 and 4, they do an actual cattle drive down the street. And it's a working stockyard. So they actually auction off cows and cattle. They do all of the stuff. And when there's a lot of cows and cattle, there's a scent that permeates the atmosphere. Yeah, I used to go to Bakersfield a couple times a year. Bakersfield is a big city, about 400,000 in the Central Valley of California, and their primary industry, there's two, there's oil and there's cow farms. And it doesn't matter where you are in Bakersfield, when the wind blows just right, there is a scent that permeates the atmosphere. I'll never forget this. The first time I went to Bakersfield, we got out of the car. We were going to dinner, stepped out of the car to go to the Chinese restaurant, and all I could smell was poo. Just so you're getting a sense of what Jesus was born into, he was born into an atmosphere of poo. And we think my life is hard. But he came all the way down to step into our mess from the outset. And he came close enough to be touched, to be held, even to be vulnerable. This is the kind of king who refuses to rule from a distance. And we often talk about how our nation was founded on faith, and it was, but the style of faith that was popular back then was called deism, meaning that God is there and we are here, and he's not really interfering in the issues of men. He's just sort of left us to our own devices, and he's up there watching. That is not the case, and it has never been the case. From Genesis to Revelation, God has been stepping into the story of humanity to draw us back to his heart, to draw us back to his face, and to draw us back into our purpose and our destiny in him. And this story is no different. He enters our world at ground level, where we live, where we hurt, where we hope. So much of religion out there is us trying to get to God, but in this relationship that we have with God, it's him trying to get to us. It's a huge difference. He's stepping into your mess. If you feel like your life is a mess right now, this might be the perfect time for Jesus to come and rest in the midst of it, to be cradled in the feeding trough of your life. And so there's a breakthrough principle here. And I make fun of breakthrough a lot because everybody wants breakthrough. The problem is, in my experience, on the other side of breakthrough, many people let go of their faith because they've finally gotten the thing that they wanted. The problem is the thing that they wanted wasn't him. And so when this breakthrough comes, they depart from the faith or they become nearsighted and blind because they forget that the pearl of great price, that the treasure in the field is Jesus himself. And that we're actually called to lay down our lives for him. But there's a breakthrough principle here. And we want breakthrough. I mean, maybe not you, but I want breakthrough that arrives like a throne. You guys know I love Revelation 4. I love the Jesus of Revelation 4 and 5, the king who sits on a throne and explodes in the thunders and lightnings. I like things that blow up. I like loud noises. I like all of that stuff. But the Jesus who came as a baby in a manger, that doesn't quite look like the breakthrough that I want. Often breakthrough arrives just like that, a child in a cradle, quiet, humble, and unnoticed by most, but you don't really understand that you're in the moment of breakthrough unless you stay steadfast and faithful in your walk in the day to day. And sometimes it feels like a grind, but then you get into a point of your destiny where you can look back on your history and understand this was the moment. This was the catalytic moment where everything began to change. And I stepped through a moment of breakthrough without even realizing it, but I was still operating in follow through. So there was this marriage between the breakthrough and the follow through that brought me to the place of purpose that Jesus has called me to be. And in on-demand culture, we want it all to happen instantaneous. We want to go to like the Kingdom Netflix and choose the show that we want and just press play. But the kingdom doesn't operate that way. It's time, it's intensity, it's pressure that produces new wine in us and refines us as pure gold. And so the kingdom key is here. The presence of God often enters small so his glory can grow big in us. I still struggle with that. I don't want him to enter in small. I would just want him to come and blow everything up. I came up in that environment, that revival environment, you know, in my 20s where just God was so present. It was almost as if you could do no wrong. I like that stuff. I believe that God is on the move today. It's just different than what it's ever looked like before, at least in our generation. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. Your cradle moments may carry a crown of purpose fulfilled if you don't give up. Paul teaches that to the Galatians. He said, do not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. We are living in a culture, we are living in a generation of giver-uppers. It's just reality. Things get hard, we want to cut bait and run. That is not kingdom. It will never be kingdom. It's being steadfast, it's being faithful, it's allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in you. It's everyday life, engaging with him and finding out what can God do through me as I'm rightly positioned before him. Number two, the cradle reveals God's strategy. Humility. I like hype, I'll confess. Different things. I like concerts. I like loud music. I like football games. Big game today at 1:00. Yeah. Woke up this morning and Deb's like, hey, let's go to Woodlands after church today. I was like, I can't. It's the Patriots. 1:00. They're playing the Bills. Yeah. Sorry, Gene. The Bills' short reign of terror is over. But you can comfort Gene at the small group table by signing up today before his team loses to my team. God's strategy is humility. Philippians chapter 2, 5-8. You can turn there, you can write it down. It says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Look, if I were writing the story, I'd do it different. I'd give Jesus a royal birth announcement. I'd give him a palace suite. There'd be a conquering entrance with fireworks and, you know, maybe a 21-gun salute or whatever, cannons, all that stuff. That's what I would do. You have some jets fly over. And my mind just keeps going, what would I do? But that's not what God chose. Because everything that God does, everything God does, every time he moves, every time he walks, he's teaching us how to walk. from Genesis to Revelation, just look at every time that he moves, he's teaching us how to do and how to represent and how to lead and how to train us to rule and reign with him. And so he chose humility as his strategy to transform the world. And we live in a performance culture. And a lot of cultures in the world are performance-based cultures, and that has crept into the church. Look, I'm not saying that we aren't supposed to hold to a standard, but we don't lead with performance in a way that we're trying to gain favor from the king. Grace and favor has been given. Therefore, as we have stepped into and through grace and favor, now we raise our standard in the way that we operate before him. But we feel the pressure of performance sometimes. Just in culture, you know, kids feel pressure to be impressive or to perform in school. Teens feel pressure to curate an image that looks perfect. Adults feel pressure to succeed. Seniors feel pressure about legacy and significance. Man, I've seen this. I'm not that far away. I mean, we could already move into one of those 55 and over communities. Not because of me, because of my lovely, lovely bride. Hey, I got 2 more years. Oh, I got 1 more year. I just had a birthday. I got 1 more year. You're right. Well, I'm going to go buy me a 55 and over condo. Jesus shows us that the kingdom doesn't advance by human hype. It advances by humility. It doesn't expand or move forward on effort alone, but it's effort fueled by breath. I'm not going to sit here and teach on rest, that we're just supposed to wait on the Lord and all. Look, if you read the Pauline epistles, you read how Paul operated. He talks about beating his body into submission. He had moments where he despaired even unto death. Like, he was human. He endured all the things that we endured, but he did it for the cause of the gospel. The kingdom is not fulfilled in a show of force. I wish it was. I like that. Go into the town square and just, you know, intercede. We could wave our flags and our swords and praise, and we could worship, and then everything would change because heaven would come down and there would be this explosion of glory. And then all of a sudden, you know, even our society would emulate the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love, joy, and peace. That would be awesome. But maybe the word is true where it says a little leaven leavens the whole bread. Now, that's a warning in terms of what influences you allow in your life. But on the flip side of that, we can be the leaven that leavens society. We can be the leaven that leavens our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our friend groups, whatever it is. We are to be the target that they can shoot for. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure. So the manger is God declaring, I don't need flash to change the world. He did that at the beginning. He said, let there be light. But he needs faithfulness. Faithfulness is still a fruit of the Spirit. This teaches us something profound. You don't have to be impressive for God to use you either, by the way. You just have to be available and willing and obedient and faithful and trust. So I would say that sometimes or oftentimes your breakthrough moment won't look like a mountaintop moment. Sometimes it will look like choosing humility when pride would be easier. Sometimes it will look like showing up when you feel overlooked. Sometimes it will look like obedience in secret when you want applause. I know there's nobody here. You know, it's for the online people. But so often, the breakthrough that is before us, we miss it because it wasn't the thing that we were looking for. You know, the disciples and the people of Israel, they're under Roman rule. They were looking for a political revolution. And now Jesus is here saying, I've got a kingdom that you know not of. I got food that you know not of. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. But then he's also the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and that is our design. I was watching a video, a podcast with N.T. Wright recently. He's an amazing theologian for the charismatic realm. And he talked about the purpose of Christianity and what we see as the purpose, and that maybe we need to shelf the purpose being to get to heaven and remember that our job is actually to bring heaven to earth. I said, oh, that's profound. Because what we've created in many streams of Christianity is this escapist religion where we're just waiting to be taken up, waiting to be taken away. You know, this hymn that we used to sing when I was growing up, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Look, I'm not going to get into dispensational theology. I'm just saying that Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe that's the prayer of agreement that we need to engage in more and more. The kingdom key here is this: God's greatest breakthroughs come through surrendered hearts, not spotlight moments. If you humble yourself, you will see the king move in unexpected ways. The Bible actually says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Number three. And this is the last point today. The cradle challenges us. Make room for the king. Luke 2:7. It says this, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no place for them in the inn. No room. I guess two of the saddest words in scripture. I don't know how many times I've heard people over the years say, oh, I just don't think there's a place for me. I'm like, whoa, it's so great. You're just like Jesus now. That's like the best thing I've ever heard you say. Like you just started this walk and you're already like him. Because there was no room for him. The world did not receive him with fanfare. He was born in a barn. And that's what's so powerful. Jesus didn't wait for perfect conditions to show up. He shows up wherever he's welcomed, even in the least expected places. There was no room in the inn, but hey, the world said, we still got a spot for you. And he still chose to show up. No room becomes this revelation. The place man rejected becomes the place God inhabited. Do you feel rejected today? Do you feel left behind? Do you feel shut out? That is the place that he wants to inhabit the most because that's where he started. Even in creation, he created a space that was dark and formless and void. And he looked into that space and he said, be light. And light became. And he's been speaking light into dark spaces ever since. There is no space so dark in your life right now that he cannot speak into it. Sometimes we're waiting on breakthrough, but breakthrough is waiting on a space in you. Just a little room, not a big room, not a lot of fanfare. But a sliver of surrender, a moment of stillness, a posture of welcome. Breakthrough doesn't always burst through the door. Sometimes breakthrough whispers, will you make room for me here? Every generation can hear this. You know, kids can make room by trusting Jesus with simple faith. I would say that's probably adults too. Youth make room by bringing real unfiltered life to him. Man, when I was in high school, I used to sit on my bed and pray. And man, I was up and down emotionally. I couldn't deal with life. I don't know what my problem was. Probably hormones. I don't know what the deal was. Maybe I was eating too many seed oils. I don't know what the deal was. But though I would pray, I would sit on my bed and Jesus would become so real to me that it was almost, I mean, there were times that I felt like I could see the impression of his body sitting next to me as I prayed and I would cry out to him with my junior high and high school drama. My girlfriend broke up with me, God. I don't know what to do. But then you get into adulthood and now you've got to make room in schedules and stress and priorities. And then when you get beyond that, you get into a place where you've got to decide, are you still willing to make room to allow Jesus to continue to write your story? Are you willing to finish strong in the final chapters of your life? And that brings you back to trusting Jesus with simple faith. What's the kingdom key? Breakthrough begins wherever you make room for the king, even if it's just a manger-sized space. Even if you can only start by giving him a corner of your life, he's gonna fill it. And you're gonna start to see, what if I give him more? There's this Hasidic principle out of Judaism. It's called sitsum, which means that they believe that in the... That was my timer. Even if they... They believe in the beginning that God was all in all. And so because of that, he had to contract him within himself a space in which he could create. Even God had to pull back and create space so that something new could be birthed. And in that space, there was a space that was dark and formless and void, like the womb of God. And he spoke light into that dark space. And the goodness of God and creation unfurled at that point and never stopped unfurling to this day. Maybe all you have the strength to do today is to give him a corner, but I'm telling you, give him your heart. Allow him to occupy the thrones of the soul. Paul Keith Davis wrote a book, you know, probably 20 years ago called The Thrones of the Soul. And he had a vision that he realized, the Lord showed him that there were places in his soul that he had not actually surrendered to the Lord. We call those strongholds, systems of logic based upon lies that we believe to be true when we've all got them, but we're all called to dismantle them brick by brick. So God's greatest breakthroughs don't always look like explosive miracles. I like explosive miracles. We've seen some pretty crazy explosive miracles over the years. But they often look like lowly mangers, hidden, humble, unexpected. Israel expected a warrior. I still like the warrior God. He's got fire in his eyes. He's riding a white horse. He's got a sword on his robe and on his thighs written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh, I love that stuff. But they wanted a throne in the beginning, but he chose a cradle. He chose a manger. He chose Bethlehem. He chose a barn. He even chose Nazareth so that at a future time, people are like, well, what good can come out of Nazareth? Yeah, Jesus. They wanted instant change, but God planted a seed of salvation that would unfurl over time after he ascended. And we still experience the future life that flows from that seed 2,000 years ago. I love reading the words and the prayers of Jesus, because you have to understand that the word of God never falls to the ground void, that we can access the prayers of Jesus as though he just spoke them for the very first time, because the atmosphere is still activated with the glory and the word of God. So today the king is asking, will you make room for me? And y'all did that today by showing up, at least to a certain extent. You woke up, you saw the snow, you made a decision. You still showed up. Good New Englanders, love it. But breakthrough doesn't always arrive like an army marching in. Often arrives like a baby crawling in. But make no mistake, the king who crawls into your story will rise to reign in it if you allow him. Will you make room for me, even in the messy places, even in the unexpected places, even in the small places? Because the cradle always leads to the crown, and the king who meets you in humility will lift you into his glory. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now. And I know I've been talking about you coming in like a baby and coming in crawling, but Holy Spirit, would you cause your goodness to forcefully blow over our faces? Right here and right now. God, I believe you are opening up another wave, another realm of encounter that is available to us if we just lean in and through the moments of our lives. Jesus, would you reveal your goodness to us? Holy Spirit, would you show us the nature of Jesus in such a way that the absolute imperative result is that we've got to say, God, I need you. I give my life to you. I lay down my life for you because you laid down your life for mine. And I choose this day to serve you. I choose this day to engage with all of who you are. In your sufferings, in your difficulties, in your glory, and in your blessings. You even said you came that we would have abundant life. Not just life, but life abundantly. Would you reach into the muck and mire right now? Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Would you find the places of our pain, Lord? Would you begin to release your oil even now? And God, I appreciate free will, but would you just come and be sovereign here in our midst? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.